Blog Talk Radio.
All these years, how did I make it this far? Through the valleys and over the hills, I know it had to be God. How did I make it through the storm? How did I make it through the rain? If you want to know just how I got here, it's so easy to explain. It was God's grace.
Hallelujah. Praise God. It was God's grace. God's grace is sufficient for us. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. I am excited. Welcome. Good evening. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. I'm your host, Brother David, and I'd like to welcome to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's word. Yes, it's God's grace. God's grace has sustained us all these years, all this time, through the trials and tribulations of our lives. God's grace has been sufficient. God's mercy has been there for us. His tender kindness has been there for us. God's forgiveness has been there for us. God has been there for us before we even came out the womb, because it was God's grace. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just glorify and magnify your name, for this is the day you have made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Father God, we thank you for giving us your breath and your strength that carried us through the day and will carry us through the night, and it will carry us to the future, Father God, for your future is bright, Father God, bright as the morning sun. Father God, we thank you that you continue to show us every day that you will never leave us or forsake us. Every day, Father God, through the trials and tribulations, you're still with us, Father God, through the valleys and through the hills, in the darkness, in the lonely times, in the empty times of our lives. You've never left us or forsaken us. Oh, Father God, we praise you for your windows of heaven blessings, that you give us your promises every day. Every day, Father God, it is you, Father God, who is blessing us, coming in and going out. God, who arms us every day with your armor. It is you, Father God, who gives us the guardian angels, protecting us as we go to and fro. It is you. It is your grace, Father God, that sustains us. Father, as I get ready to go forward today, I ask you, Father God, that I, David, decrease, and that the Holy Spirit, as you allowed it to use Jesus, it will rise up in me, Father God, and deliver your word, Father God, because it is not about the messenger, it's about the message, Father God. And the message is the good news of you, Father God, the good news that Christ was born, Christ lived, he died and rose again for our sins, for the remission of our sins, to redeem us from our own destruction. That's how wonderful God you are. Your love is beyond measure, Father God, and we thank you. We pray right now, Father God, anyone of the sound of my voice, Father God, your healing power is upon them. Every area of their lives, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, whether it's spiritual, whether it's financial, whether it's relational, whether it's social, Father God, heal every area of their lives. Bless them, Father God, that they can only stand up and shout and give you all the glory, honor, and praise, because, Father God, you are there in their lives. They can experience you, Father God, in a mighty way. And for those, Father God, who are not sure, Father God, help them in their unbelief, Father God. Increase their faith, Father God. Help to store up their talents and gifts, Father God, that they may be blessed coming in and going out. And when people see them, Father God, as Peter spoke, that it would be their shadow that would move, Father God, because the power of the Holy Spirit would be upon them. Bless them, Father God. And we just thank you, Father God, as I get ready to go forward and give this word. Let this word penetrate their heart, their mind, and their soul, Father God, that it becomes life unto them, that promotes them, Father God, to the next level of spiritual maturity. We thank you and we praise you for hearing our prayers. We thank you for listening to our prayers. And hallelujah, praise be unto God for answering our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Well, I'm really pumped up. I'm really pumped up. I got a lot of data to give you because the word through the Holy Spirit was just coming to me and I'm just fired up. So a lot of scriptures going to be coming. Just bear with me. Get your saddle in, as we used to say, and get ready to ride because God is moving. Hallelujah. Today's quote is, faith is not the belief that God will do what he wants. It is the belief that God will do what is right. Max Lucado. Billy Graham said, the greatest legacy one can pass on to one's children and grandchildren is not money or material things accumulated in one's life, but rather a legacy of character and faith. Dave Willis says, faith is not a feeling. It's a choice to trust God, even when the road ahead is uncertain. And another anonymous author said, at my lowest, God is my hope. At my darkest, God is my light. At my weakest, God is my strength. At my sadness, God is my and hallelujah. And Brother Dave said, faith is sitting down in a chair when you never check to see if the bolts or the screws are there. And the scripture tells us, 1 John 5:9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he has testified of his Son. And Romans 3:4 says, if men give you a report which is contrary to the word of God, let God be true and every man a liar. Hallelujah. And Romans 15:13 said, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Well, I don't want to share a few stories with you because I like sharing these anecdotes of these stories because they give us hope in the future. They provide us a means to recognize that God is with us and he has not forsaken us. It gives us the opportunity to recognize that ordinary people can do extraordinary things. And these anecdotes, if you will, of stories are people, real people's lives and how they overcome, how they overcome. This is called Walking Tall. In the summer 2010, Chris Liu took a break from kayaking to climb a stress bridge and dive into the deep southern Indiana River. 10 seconds later, he couldn't feel anything from his neck down. Another guy jumped in with Liu and drifted over the midfall, landing on Liu's neck and leaving the 28-year-old a quadriplegic. By the time he surfaced, he was in the ensuing weeks and months, the wheelchair-bound Liu had navigated dizzy network of hospitals, outpatient centers, nursing homes, but found maze of his care complicated, expensive, and not focused enough on his goal. Low on traditional options, Liu discovered an organization called Newark, a low-cost therapy center in Utah, founded by another quadriplegic, that allowed him to recuperate at his own pace for a tiny fraction of the traditional care that it would cost. 18 months after his accident, Liu walked again. And in 2015, fueled by the meaningful experience, he opened up Neural Hope, a low-cost clinic near downtown Indianapolis that will provide affordable therapy, equipment, and facilities to patients with spinal cord and other neurological injuries. And in the past 2 years, he's expanded to 2 other centers and blessing many people across the nation. Then the other is about a young lady who is a major speaker on TED. Her name is Telly Osborne. She has multiple color mohawk, multiple peers, and makes her look like more of a rock band member than a motivational speaker. She rides a hot pink scooter with the skull on it. To others, punks in the punk rock community, she's known as Nub, based on the song She Nubs, written about Osborne. She believed that difference should be embraced, and I concur. You know, we all try to get on this same page to be like, look like, act like somebody else, but God made us unique in our own way. Every individual was unique. Why I know this? Because his 12 disciples were unique. But let's go forward with Telly's story. Embracing the difference is nothing new for Osborne, for you see, she was born without arms and majority of her bones in her legs, which is why she requires the scooter. But rather than let this difference be her limitation, she embraced it, and in her words, let her difference sparkle. Before becoming one of the most sought-after inspirational speakers on TED's roster, she rose through the ranks of the Virginia Mobile Academy to become the airline's best customer service agent in America. Richard Branson even included her in his top list of the most inspirational people in the world. And with a natural gift for telling story, her presentation weaves humor, wit, and grace into a powerful message. Remember, it's not the message, it's the message, but her message is deep, about acceptance and tolerance. Let me say that again. Acceptance and tolerance. We have to move to learn how to accept one another and tolerate one another, because we all come with our own uniqueness. And she says, I want people to leave my presentation feeling inspired and motivated to be the best person they can be. Learn to love themselves, dream big, and live life to the fullest. Hallelujah. She reminds me of my daughter, who doesn't walk, doesn't talk, fed by feeding tube. And when I say talk, meaning she doesn't talk as fluent as we do. But she has two words that she say: good God and oh God. So you see the uniqueness, and many people quite often ask the question, well, how you can do it? I don't know how you can handle someone like that. But when you find your purpose, and it doesn't have to look, you don't have to look like or be like everybody else, but when you find your God-given purpose, many people can become beneficiaries of the blessing that God flows through you to them. And then the next one and last story is a little more challenging, but I'm going to bring it to you. It's an Iceland native named Doris Elva, and then at the age of 16, she counted the 2 hours that she had to experience in seconds, which was 7,200 seconds. Why did she count this? Because in the midst of her ex-boyfriend was molesting her. His name was Tom Stranger, an exchange student from Austria. After nearly a decade of writing and communicating, this communication student from Austria, they began to develop this relationship after the crime had passed. The two found peace, forgiveness, and a drive to open social eyes to the realities of the sexual violence and misplaced blame that perpetuates the problem. They asked the question after 3 million viewers. She said, how will we understand what it is in humanity society that produces violence if we refuse to recognize the humanity in those who commit the violence? And how can we empower survivors if we make them feel less than? And how can we discuss solutions to one of the biggest threats in the lives of women and children around the world if the very words we use are part of the problem? The moral of the story is, when we focus on the report of God's word, we begin to understand that life is full of challenges, some foreseen and some unpredictable, that one's imagination would be stumped by the outcome of such a test of trial and tribulation that one would encounter. Yet we can see that in every life situation mentioned above, if we trust God, we can overcome them. Well, God can take an ordinary person through and out of extraordinary situations. Thus, Jesus was the prime example of overcoming life's challenges, why he was here on earth. And even though he went to the depths of hell to overcome hell's sting. See, we must learn not to lean to our own understanding, but our faith in God is what will see us through. You see, the race is not given to the swift or the strong. It's given to him that endureth to the end. So you see, Paul stated like this in Romans 8:31-39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor principality, nor power, nor things present to come, nor height nor depth, nor other creatures shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, we run across a lot of challenges in life, but we have to learn to move into what our series was last week. The next phase of it is, do you believe the report of the Lord or man? The report you believe reflects the measure of your faith. Hallelujah. You see, we spoke last week about how the news reports is often off the scale because of the negative, unfulfilling worldly information that's going on today, ranging from COVID pandemic, which is now at 47 million cases worldwide, 1 million plus deaths across the globe, threats of riot, bodily harm to those who are not in agreement with the presidential outcome, storms, forest fires, unemployment, suicide, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. These reports are causing worldwide panic. It's creating unsettling spirits in the world, the United States, and the community, the families, and the individuals. Therefore, putting people's faith into question. Well, people who profess that such a strong faith are now experiencing on their own Job story, unfortunately not being able to stand the test of time. Churches closing, member questioning God. The world is really moving to a point where they don't care nothing about God. Hatred is at an all-time high. We addressed a few of the people, even in the Bible, who had heard God's report, and they also heard Satan's report, and some wavered and some stood their ground. We talked about Adam and Eve. When Eve believed the the serpent's report after she was given God's report, for which she even quoted back to Satan. Yes, she took Satan's report to heart and ate of the fruit. Then Adam believed Eve's report and ate of the fruit, right of the fruit, which is interesting because they both knew God's report, which would fill their life with the gospel, the good news that came with long life, abundance, God's love and protection. But who reported that they believed strong enough to stand on the fact that God's fact instead of Satan's illusion? Therefore, everything we see today, as early as mentioned, and the consequences that exist, is because of the fall of man as we let sin come in. Then we talked about Abraham and Sarah. We looked at Abraham and Sarah. In the beginning, they were just like us today. They were new people in Christ, but maybe not in Christ, but in God, if you will, in that time. And they were like children. They hung to every word that God said. Abraham was all in. But just like us, they allowed the deceiver to get into their head. And when the deceiver got into the head, he created the lies and deception that distracted them. You see, God's word in 2 Corinthians 10:4-5 says this: for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down the stronghold, casting down imagination to every high thing that exalts itself against, to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. But we don't do that. Yet, like us in that time, Sarah allowed Satan to give her a report opposite of what God told Abraham. And he told her what God said, yet she went on with her own report. Why? Because she looked at the exterior. She entertained the concept of what was outside of her, what was versus what was inside of her. Therefore, handing over her maiden Hagar, and therefore changing the nature of the plan that God had. Basically moving on her own understanding and not trusting God's report, but listen to Satan. For you see, it tells us that in Romans 4:17, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Against all hope, see, that child following God, the father right there. Abraham, in hope, believed and became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him. So shall your offspring be, without weakening in his faith. In most cases, when we first get born again, spirit-filled, we don't weaken our faith. Oh, we want to run and tell somebody. Oh, we can't be moved, can't be pushed. But given time, given a little more pressure, turning up the screws, turning up the heat, we can sometimes fall short. And this is what happened with Abraham and Sarah. But let's look at those who believed God's report. The woman that was healed by Jesus, and a woman out of Luke 8, 3 and 48, and a woman having the issues of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed. So now this woman here, like all of us, we go to the physician. You know, it was always interesting to me, and I worked in the medical field most of my military life, and it was always fascinating. I never saw nobody come and ask me about my credentials. No one ever asked me what school I went to, what knowledge I had, how much experience I had. They just come in by faith, and I can tell them blah, 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 and go do this and go do that, and they were going by their merry way. That's what we do. But this lady trusted the physician. They couldn't deliver. And so she came behind him, and she touched the border of his garment. Immediately, her issue of blood stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they were with him and said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee and said, Thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody had touched me, for I perceive the is gone out of me. See, with Jesus, there's power, that dunamis power, that impact power, that life-changing power. And when the woman saw that she had not healed, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all people for what was caused she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. See, when you know God, see, he tells us, keep thy mind on thee, for he will give us perfect peace, that mature peace, that comfort peace, that he said, go in good comfort. Because now you know that God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, are the deliverers of their word. Well, let's look at that again with the next group of people who had the faith of God no matter what. King Nebuchadnezzar wanted the young men to bow down and worship him in his status. They refused at all costs. Standing to the king, we do not defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the burnt blazing fire, the God whom we serve is able to save us. See, when you have that stand firm faith that you don't be moved, you know God, no matter what, will deliver. He will rescue us from the power, your majesty. And when the whole kingdom was falling, you know, most of the time, we follow. We like, I always like to say the wizard, if the color for the day is yellow, everybody got yellow. If the color for the day is green, everybody got green. For we have more followers than we got leaders. But that's okay, because God anoints the leaders and who he wants to lead. But we should be following those who are leading us to Christ. There's those who are taking us in the kingdom way. However, we know that Nebuchadnezzar was not doing that. But they stood their ground. Then with strong conviction, they stood and made the statement. But even if he does not, we want to make it clear to you. See, I love this. That's why we wrote it. I love this. We want to make it clear to you. In other words, I don't want you to have any confusion. So, see, this is what Eve should have said to the serpent. Look here, I don't want you to be confused. Look here, this is what God said. This is what I'm going to do. As Jesus said unto Satan, get behind me. See, when Sarah came and she looked at her circumstance and entertained her flesh, and well, I understand it because the flesh always weighs more with the spirit, so therefore it can be a little hard to stand strong. But if she had had that conviction these young men had, she would have said, get behind me, Satan. My husband told me that God said this, and this is the rock I'm going to stand on. But unfortunately, we as humans sometimes fall short. So it says, he said, your majesty, that we will never serve your God or worship the gold statue you have set up. Nebuchadnezzar was so furious that he commanded the heat to be 7 times hotter than usual. And because the king was there, he demanded, and he said to them, this don't make sense. Get me the biggest men around, and I want you to tie them down and throw them in there. And when he put them in there, Nebuchadnezzar looked and saw 4 men. He said, now, didn't we have 3 in there? He said, and then he seen they were untied, they were unbounded, walking around, feeling good, not harmed by the fire. But yet his guards who had threw them up had got burned up immediately just by the heat in his cell, the intensity of the heat. This is what believing God's report looked like. For you see, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not feel the need to defend their decision to comply to the king's views. For they had confidence that God would protect them, preserve them, and keep them, keep their hope and trust in God's report is what it was all about. See, Proverbs 4:20-22 says, attend to my words, incline thy ears to thy saying, let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. See, their flesh was not harmed. And they had still life because they stood the test of time. They stood up and they fought what they fought the good fight of faith on what God was telling them. They did not move by what they saw. They was moved by what they believed. And just this lines right up with as it relates to what's going to happen tonight with the election. We can't be moved by what we see. We have to be moved by what God's word says. And his word says he would never leave us or forsake us. For you see, no matter what, we must trust God. We must know that we cannot allow things to break us. How do we keep our faith in the good report of God like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who had such confidence in God and his word that they couldn't be moved by what Satan was presenting, even on to death? I would go as far as to say that if we were presented with that idea that we were going to be burned alive, I can imagine that some of us would even negotiate in our head and say to the king, you know what, I ain't worried about it. I'll go on and bow down because he don't know in my mind. He don't know what I really feel, so I would go on and bow down. Yes, Satan is much more insightful than that because what we say to ourselves, if we bow down and give in to him, Satan, just like he did with Adam and Eve, Abraham and Sarah, he would have the best of the deal. We would have been the gave in because this is a spiritual warfare, not a physical. So how do we stay true to the course? How do we believe God's report and miss the trials and tribulations? How do we deal with future uncertainty? These are some very important questions that we need to answer, especially when in the middle of the storm or as Satan is shooting his best ammunition at us, such as sickness of self and others, death just happening all around us. We find ourselves walking this journey alone, thinking like Sarah, we'll never have find a soulmate, we're too old, we're not pretty enough, we're not handsome enough, we're not rich enough. These are the lies that Satan tells us. Or he begins to give us diagnosis, say we have sickness that's life-threatening. Your family has abandoned you because of your actions and the history. You lost your job. Your marriage is ending in divorce. You have to bury your child. Your son is taking his own life. These are real issues we all people face every day. At present, it seems like Satan has turned up the heat. He's turned up the furnace with more and more issues. But what do we do? Right now, the furnace is hotter than it ever been. People out here saying it all around. I ain't never experienced nothing like this. I've been under so many presidents, and I've never seen no election go like this. I've seen trials and tribulations, but nothing like this. I don't know what's going on. But see, we got to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We got to be able to parallel our story with their story to have faith that can sustain the test of time. Because the word tells us the race ain't given to the swift or the strong, but the race is given to him that endure to the end. For you see, we act like Peter sometimes, that when the wave gets to overtake us, we think that we can handle it at first, but then we get a realization as we're drowning and we say, Lord, help me. So what do we do to overcome? I said that I will give you some pointers here. So first thing we must do, we must recognize that Emmanuel, God is with us. And see, Proverbs 3:5-6 tells us certain things. So the first thing we must do is not lean to our own understanding. So we saw that with Abraham and Sarah. We saw that with Adam and Eve. They leaned to their own understanding. But the word tells us, trust in the Lord with all that heart. Lean not to thy own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. So a lot of us, as I sometimes I'm talking to people and we're having various discussions, I see some of this we have to take into account. It's almost by default because we begin our lives being conditioned, programmed, subliminally or directly. These messages are lies that Satan creates. And as I always say, there's always some truth in a lie. So he can create an illusion because even Satan said, did God say this? Did God say that? He twists the words here and he twists the words there. Well, that's why we have to know God for ourselves. So he cannot deceive us. For you see, the scripture tells us that in Acts 10:37, 38. See, Jesus did not lean to his own understanding, but in everything he acknowledged and he sought out the Holy Spirit. So he says, you know how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how we went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil? Because God was with him. See, we can't lean to our own understanding. Yes, we were created in his image and we have some attributes. But at the end of the day, Jesus also was with him and he had his attributes. But he recognized he had to go to the Father. He had to talk to him. See, in Luke 4:18-19, it says that the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he had anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner. That's us. We were in prison. We were in slavery prison. We were truly in prison and imprisoned by the act of sin. Sin has such a power over us that it controls us, it regulates, it dictates, it can get us off our square. That's why we can't lean to our sin, because as I said earlier, we cannot recognize the weaponry that we use in the carnal world. We have to use the weaponry that comes from God. And this is how we can overcome the power of sin. And since Christ already took care of that, we already win. But the scripture says, again, that God has sent him here to recover the sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Well, how does Jesus take it to the next step? Secondly, we must develop the habits of Jesus. What did Jesus do? Jesus prayed. See, prayer, you hear the old folks say, prayer changes things. Oh, this is not just the old saying. This is a reality. Prayer changes things. And Jesus understood that. Sometimes he prayed by himself. Sometimes he prayed collectively. But he prayed, and he prayed, and he spoke to his Father. And you know what he did? He built an intimate relationship, a union, a connection that would allow him to be able to go to his Father and ask what he may. He says in Mark, you must have faith in God. He had faith in God, probably way more than we got, obviously, because he said, oh, we need the faith size of mustard seed, but I believe he had way more. And see, he went forward to spend that quality time with God. For it says in Luke 22:39, and he came out and went, and as his habit to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples also followed him. So what was that habit? That strong habit of a strong prayer life. See, you cannot invest. You cannot expect to get a $1 million outcome with a $1 investment. The measure you give, so shall you receive. Too often we base our faith on our own actions, our own intellect, our own resources, which is very limited. But when we tap into God's resources through the Holy Spirit like Jesus did, we begin to open the heaven floodgate that will allow us to produce the maximum outcome that God intended for us to do. So when we go to talk about prosperity, we truly see prosperity because that prosperity is not based on the way man sees prosperity, but the way that God saw prosperity, which is from the spiritual aspect. So you see, as I told them today in Bible study, if you look at a blade and it's coming up, you look at your grass, in the interim you did when you plant the seed, you don't see the grass germinating. You don't see it begin to go through its developmental process. But God sees that because he said he known us. Well, we were in the womb. And I know he knows this because they tell us the story of John the Baptist jumped when Jesus showed up, when Mary came to Elizabeth. So sometimes we can't see the developmental process that God is working on us. And the work that he begun on us, he's going to see it through. But we have to have that faith, and we have to establish that relationship with him. See, too often we base our faith on things that we see when we should base our faith on things that are unseen, because everything that's unseen is what's going to manifest to be seen. And then third, we have to speak over ourselves what God's word says about us and his promises. See, God's word tells us in Philippians 4:19, my God will meet all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And this is just not monetary things or these things we gather here that's going to mold and moth and everything else. These are about building those treasures up in heaven. But as you build those treasures up in heaven, you can also enjoy some of the treasures down here on earth. For you see, in Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. See, God's plan, always, as he said in Jeremiah 29:11, is for us to prosper and not to experience harm, not in a major way, because he gives us hope for the future. Hope for the future. See, we have to start speaking like God speaks, because when Satan gives us his report, we have to be able to come back, just like Jesus said, it is written. And then in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, do you not know that your body are temples of the Holy Spirit? Hold on, man. The Holy Spirit. See, again, Jesus said, I would not leave you comforters, but there'll be another, which is the Holy Spirit, which was the power that he used to go and do the works that he did. Now he leaves us with us, who is in you, whom you have received from God. See, as Jesus received the Holy Spirit, when the dove came down, he received the Holy Spirit. Now we're being blessed through prayer that the Holy Spirit now can reside in us. As he said, I in them and thou in me, that thou may know that thou hast sent me, and thou love them as I've loved as you love me. God knowledge. And he tells us again that the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will now quicken our mortal body so that we can do the work that God calls us to do. Hallelujah. And the fourth thing we must do, we must take action. So the word tells us in Colossians 3:23-24, whatever you do, work hardy as for the Lord and not for men. See, this is what our problem is. We're so busy having this need for approval that we've developed an approval addiction. We want validation from everybody else. We guilt ourselves, we beat ourselves up because we want this validation. But again, this is how we've been conditioned by Satan's lies. You have no worth unless man validates you. You're not important unless man validates you. If you don't look like I look, then you don't feel you have worthiness because man has to validate you. But see, God validated you when he gave you the breath of life. When he gave you his strength, and then he turned around and gave you the Holy Spirit. So this here, knowing that from the Lord, you'll receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. See, you receive a real inheritance, not like what man gives. So your father happened to be Bill Gates, and he leaves you all his money. Well, that's all fine and dandy, but see, that's temporal. Why I say it's temporal? Because the next day you go out, and an individual driving, and somebody hits you, and now you're standing before God. See, what you got then on earth is left on earth. What you get with God is waiting for you when you get there. Hallelujah. And then he tells us in James 1:22, be a doer of the word, not a hearer only, deceiving yourself. See, we got to take action. Faith is an action thing. Love is an action word. All these are words that take action. It requires us to do something. But see, Paul told Timothy, hallelujah, in 2 Timothy 1:2, for God gave us not the spirit of fear, but power, love, and self-control. And you do know that the end of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. See, we have a little say-so. We have a little say-so, and it gets empowered by the Holy Spirit. In other words, if we plug in into God, we get empowered. And when we get empowered, we can go forward in faith, not in fear, with that power. And then we do everything in love, because, see, love always preserves, protects. It always allows us to have hope and trust that God is going to do what his word said it would do, because it never returns void. But, see, that's all about us taking some control. And then finally, he says this in Ephesians 6:10-18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. See, remember I said earlier, he said that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. So in his might, you put on the whole armor of God to be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. See, the devil is going to come with his schemes, his ideals, his lies, his illusion. He's a great magician. He's going to make you believe, as the old saying goes, the greatest trick the devil ever did was make you believe that he don't exist. He's going to create that illusion. But we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Oh, no. We wrestle against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic power over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of the evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take on your whole armor, that you may be able to stand in the evil days, and having done all, to stand firm. Like like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Stand firm. Stand therefore, and having fastened on the belt of truth and put on the breastplate of righteousness. See, then you would guard yourself up with the shield of faith, the sword of spirit, and you can go forward and be victorious in God. So you don't have to go out there alone. Then we must stand on our faith, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Stand on that faith. See, too many times when everything's going well for people, everybody's all good. Oh, man, they the super Christians. They got their Superman suit on, and they flying around with ease. As that man say, zoom, they flying away. But soon as life crisis come, now you find again. You find the measure of your faith, what it's all about. Well, you spoke when everything was well. You had the measure of faith that was a dynamo. It was impactful. It was powerful. It was strong. But soon as the first crisis comes, you're like Peter. I don't know Christ. You're like Peter. Call me out there, Lord. But soon as the wave comes, you start to sink. See, as I listen to people, and I get it. Sometimes my brain goes off on La La Land, too, and I get a little concerned. But I'm learning every day, and this is why it's so important to study God's word, because every day I study God's word, I get a little stronger. It's like going to the gym. You know, when I first used to go to the gym, I couldn't move 100 pounds. Now I'm going to the gym where I'm a little more compromised now, but I went from 305 to, like I say, 200 and something pounds. And pretty much can do it with comfort. And this is because I stayed diligent to the course. I stayed, and when I retired from the military, I told myself I wasn't going to change the developmental habits that worked for me for 37 years. I wasn't going to change it when I got out. And I had to go through a whole lot of rehab. But I stuck in the course. And so it works well for me. And now as I'm developing the knowledge and the wisdom of God's word, it's working well for me. Oh, it's challenging. There's disappointments and there are letdowns and there are heartaches and there's pain. But as there's all those that come, there's also joy. There's also that peace that surpasses all understanding. There's also that pure, true happiness that God gives. So I'm not totally outdone. I'm not totally beat down. I'm not moved by every whim. And when Satan comes and brings his thoughts, his ideals, because he did this to Jesus in the wilderness. But yet I'm able to go forward. Why? Because in 1 Corinthians 10:13 say, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure. He will provide what you need. See, God understands the problem. But as he understands the problem, he has his promises waiting for us. And as he has his promises waiting for us, he turns around, he makes sure we have the provisions. And as he makes sure we have the provisions, he protects us. See, God knows better than we do. Jesus understood this. Because in Luke 4:1-13, it said, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned to Jordan, was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days. So you know he was weak, physically weak. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command the stone to become bread. See, now here's the illusionist again. Here's the tempter. Here's the liar. And he says again, if you are God's son, if you command this to become bread, and Jesus answered, said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And then the devil took him up and showed him the temple or the kingdom of the world in the moment of time. Thus, in the end, we must stand firm and believe God's report, because Satan is always going to try to bring you these temptations, and he's going to always try to throw you off your square. Every individual has their own stronghold. Every individual has their own weight. What may be heavy for me may not be heavy for you. What may be easy for you to turn away from may not be easy for me to turn away from. But yet, Satan is going to always try to make us feel bad. He's going to do the comparison and competitive thing. But we must recognize these, he said, be not deceived of the devil's devices. See, we must stand firm in God's report, not Satan. We must not lean to our own understanding. We must develop these habits that Jesus had in prayer. We must speak over ourselves God's word as he spoke about his promises, and then we must take action and stand in our faith. Then when Satan brings that news report, we can speak as Jesus did and say, it is written, that in this report I stand on the words that God told me to stand on. I stand on the words that the young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. They stood that the word of God was written. They trusted God's report and not Satan's report. And this is what we have to develop a new habit to do, to trust God's report. Oh, yes, some of us have been around a little while, so habits that you got over 30 and 40 years may be hard to break. But when you truly trust God and you trust his word, God will give you all that you need to be victorious in him. We're going to end this part of the session, and we're going to go into the second part of the soldier's perspective. So today is election day, and many people are really anxious about who's going to win. But I tell you this, one thing that I've noticed in my time of being under many presidents, none of them ever called me up and asked me what I thought about life. Now, they would come into town and they shake hands and they kiss babies and hug grandmas and tell you all the things, whether they're Democrat, Republican, liberal, whatever the case may be. They'll tell you all what they play they're going to do. Now, if anybody know anything about politicians, they do a lot of rubbing hands and hitting elbows. So when they get up into the White House, they lose sight about your house. They lose sight about what you all about. They lose sight about all the promises they make. But see, God's promises are always going to be fulfilled. God is not going to leave us or forsake us. See, we have to understand that. So we realize that when they go there, their words are contradicted to the faith that God wants us to have. So we get trapped in man's thinking, and we go believing those things that they tell us. And we would hope that by all reasonable views that they would be honest about what they do. But we understand when they get to the White House, as I always said from the movie Mrs. Smith Goes to Washington, there are people who don't believe. There are people that don't care. We saw that with during the time of Jesus and the Romans and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They may look the part, but they may not care from the heart. So we have to recognize that Psalms 37:25 say, I've been young and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And you see in Deuteronomy 31:6, it says, be strong and courage. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. When you truly have faith in God, no matter who's in office, no matter who's the king, no matter who's the earthly master, God is still in charge of all of them. And as the old saying goes, he got the whole world in his hand. Let's trust God's plan, because his plan is for us to prosper and to give us hope for the future. But if not, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, God will still save us. It's just a soldier perspective. Again, I appreciate you allowing me to take a little moment of your time to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's word. I always recommend that you go back and you look up the scriptures and you study his word. You develop a prayer life. You develop a steady habit in God's word so you can become stronger in him. As I say, I've never seen a bodybuilder get stronger without pushing no weight. You got to do your part so God, because God is always going to do his part. Now, for those of you who may not have accepted God as your personal Lord and Savior, some of you who have and kind of fell by the wayside and maybe became like the prodigal son, but you know the end result of the prodigal son, that his father had open arms waiting for him. And he killed the fattest calf and gave him something that he never had, restoration. We can always come back to God. It all requires for us to confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus was born, Jesus lived, Jesus died, and he rose again. And he did this for the remission of our sins, to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. And I can tell you, I've been in the streets, and now I'm learning more about serving God. Serving God is much better. I still got a long way to go, but I don't mind being on that journey. I'm kind of like Forrest Gump. I'm going to keep on running. I'm going to keep on running. And I'm going to keep on running. until I eventually cross that finish line. And I can hear my Father say, this is my Son who I'm well pleased. Well done, my good and faithful servant. So this is worth the fight. This is worth a good fight. I've been a soldier a long time, and I've been in some battles. But no battle has been tougher than this. But this fight here is already won. I just got to embrace the process and keep striving to grow and mature. And that's what we all got to do. Process, people. Nobody's going to be perfect on this earth because perfection is only in the dictionary, not by man's standard. But we can become perfect in God's sight, maturing, spiritually maturing in Christ. And as we mature in Christ, you know, maybe it's a little rhyme, but our life get nice. It gets sweet as it can get. Can't nothing be no better. Because the greatest thing of it all is that, as Shadrach, Meshach said, if not, and as Paul said, if I transition from here, I'm still going to be in good shape because I'll be present with the Lord. It's worth its weight in gold. Now, again, we'd like for you to check out kingdombuilderplaza@gmail.com. Contact the office if you want anything directly, to directly communicate with those that are able to answer the phones and give you guidance on some of the shows and all the great ministers and teachers who are trying to share God's good news with the world. Because that is our command. Go into the world and let the world know about Christ's good news. And then again, if you want to sow into the ministry, it is www.givelify.com, which is givelify.com. Again, it's important that we invest into the ministry and that we continue to trust God. And if not this ministry, somebody's ministry. Because we talked about the young man who was a quadriplegic. He went out there and he invested in a different type of ministry. That was his calling. I'm sure it wasn't the way he wanted it, but at the end of the day, he walked again. God healed him to walk again, to go help somebody else. And as the song say, go and tell somebody. Tell them that Jesus is Lord. Again, thank you for allowing me to share time with you. And as a matter of fact, I just want to pray. I just feel the need to pray right now. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity. Father God, there are a lot of people hurting because Satan has given them a bill of goods. Satan has created in their mind an expectation about life that doesn't line up with your word. But I ask you, Father God, right now to help them to understand that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And if they truly want life and they want that abundance that you give, let them seek you first, your kingdom and all its righteousness. So all the things that they desire that lines with your word can be fulfilled. Your plan can be fulfilled in their lives. Father God, there are those who out there who want to soul me. Father God, you know the design of the individuals already. Who would line up with who? I think you bring them together. They don't need all these dating sites and all these other sites to find the true soulmate that you provide for them, because you will put them right in their path. Father God, if there's someone who's struggling right now with suicide, that they think life is not worth living, I know they don't want to die. They just want to get rid of the pain. But, Father God, I know your word tells us, Father, you could give us that peace and surpass all the human understanding, because what they may know, Father God, may not be true because Satan has created the lies. Give them your vision of themselves. Give them your idea of themselves. Give them your value of themselves. Show them, Father God, that you love them. You love them so much that you sent your only begotten Son. Let them recognize, Father God, they don't have to do this alone. Emmanuel, God, you are with us. Bless them, Lord. If they need healing, Father God, I claim that healing power, that every atom, molecule, cell, tissue, organ, and system will not only operate in healthy divine condition, but is free from sickness and disease. And no disease, I don't care about COVID or any disease that exists. When Jesus took them 39 stripes on his body and shedded that blood, healing was manifested then. And I know, Father God, you're always in the healing business. So I thank you that by his stripes, they are healed. Father God, if there are those out there struggling in relationships with family, children to parents, parents to children, extended relatives, I pray, Father God, that love will move into their lives. The love that is patient and kind, not jealous or boastful, not arrogant or rude. It does not keep the record of wrong, Father God. It rejoices in truth and not in wrong. The love that preserves, protects, hope, and trust, Father God. Your love that never fails will be the glue that brings them together and allows them to stay together, their lives. So when they do this, Father God, they will be able to bear the good fruits of love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and that self-control. Touch their lives right now, Father God. Touch their lives. And trust their lives to recognize, Father God, that the power of your word will impact change in their life. And help them to understand, Father God, you are patient because you are love. So you know that it takes time. So they don't have to beat themselves up. They don't have to believe that they have to be this perfect human being because you didn't go pick up 12 perfect human beings. You picked up 12 who were imperfect and you worked perfection through them. I thank you, Father God. I pray over the officials right now, Father God, in any capacity, politically, socially, financially, whatever role they hold, these leaders, Father God, I ask you, Father God, that they will turn from their wicked ways because they will seek you out, Father God, in your kingdom, and the kingdom living and the kingdom leadership that you want us to exercise discipleship, to build disciples. I thank you, Father God. I thank you right now, Father God. There are those in nursing homes, prisons, rehabs, Father God, all alone. Touch their lives. Give them a comfort. Wrap your loving arms around them to let them know they're not alone. As you said in your word, you'll never leave them or forsake them. Touch them, Father God. And let us as human beings, Father God, start to recognize that we are our brother's keeper. So we should reach out to one another. We should, with all this technology and skills, these miracles you work, Father God, that we now can communicate in milliseconds. There's no reason for people not to communicate with each other. I hear people say, Father God, they can't find someone in the city that got a million people walking around. How is that? Because we're self-seeking. Father God, let us drop our pride and communicate with each other just to be friends. Because you said no greater thing a man can do than to lay down his life for a friend. Let us truly understand your meaning of friendship. Father God, touch their lives. Touch their lives in a mighty way. I pray over everyone's family and everyone they're connected to. Bless them with your windows of heaven blessings. Open up protection from them, Father God. Their personal angel will always look out for them so no harm will come to them. And just give them, Father God, what they never could get from man, which is your love. I praise you and I honor you. And I thank you for hearing our prayers, listening to our prayers, and hallelujah, Lord, for answering our prayers. In Jesus' holy and majestic name, amen, amen, amen. Have a blessed week. Walk by faith, not by sight. Trust God in all you do. You pray for me, and I'll pray for you. And let's just watch and see the miraculous power of what God will do. Have a wonderful week. God bless you. Just love.